Welcome to the Northern Affinity Video Podcast. During this session, we will be having an unedited discussion with an expert. And what I'll be planning to do is, during our discussion, get them to teach me something. Teach me about something that's of interest, but also they are an expert in. I'm Michael Edwards, and I'm the founder of the Northern Affinity. And I will tap into our wonderful community to bring you along on my drive for self-improvement and my desire to learn. So please connect with me on various social media platforms, whether it's LinkedIn or Instagram or Twitter. And I'd love to hear from you what subjects you'd like to learn more about, or what subjects you think it'd be good for me to learn about. So please, you know, get in contact and let me know. All the details will be in the show notes, and you can send me an email or contact me via the various platforms. I really hope you enjoy the show. So welcome everyone to the latest edition of the video podcast. I am absolutely delighted to say that I'm joined by Claire Clifford today, and Claire's going to teach me all about content and planning for a month. Now, I think we'll probably focus quite heavily on social media content, but a little bit kind of generally as well. So, welcome to the podcast, Claire.
Hi, Mike. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're more than welcome. Do you want to tell us a little bit about you anyway before we'll go into it and we'll talk more about content itself?
Yeah, I'm Claire Clifford from Sunshine Digital. I'm an online content expert. Spent nearly two decades in online, creating online content, and really working in social media since before Instagram was even invented. So when Facebook was still really popular with the cool kids. I know my stuff back to front. I mostly work with small businesses, although I have worked with a lot of large businesses as well. Working with a small business and seeing them get it and really get into the groove online is where I get my joy from, really. I focus a lot on social media because our business, it's the one area where you can outsell as such. It's not necessarily about sales, but outshine your competition without outspending them. So we concentrate a lot on social media, and I love it. So that's where I'm at, really. And I'm going to show you, we'll talk you through today how I might plan some content for a month. And I'm going to use my own business as a bit of an example.
Sounds like the perfect example. So I guess kind of the first question on this, Claire, is why is it important to plan your content? Because, you know, we could all just make it up as we go along, do it day by day, and that can be done easily enough, I guess. But why is it important?
Doing that all the time, posting and praying. So is it like with anything, really? What's your goal? Just by winging it and putting up any old post when you've got time, posting and praying, you're not getting the most out of your audience or the most out of your time. By planning your content and looking at it, I would look at a client's content 3 months ahead usually, but by looking a month ahead, what do you want to say that month? Where do you want to be? And it also makes sure that your content it's interesting and it's balanced. Because actually there are some posts you need to make that aren't going to get loads of engagement, but do need to be there just to underpin what your business represents. So having a strategy means that you're going to get results, and it means that you're going to get consistent results, and not 1 month you've been relatively quiet in your business. So you spent loads of time on social media, so you've had millions of views, and then the next month you've got four. So it's keeping it consistent and keeping it. And it's also about the algorithms, as boring as it is. And people try and beat the algorithms. You're not going to beat Mark Zuckerberg and his programmers. You're just not. So by being consistent with your content and posting regular content, you're feeding the algorithm and it will prioritize your content. LinkedIn obviously isn't part of the Meta dynasty, but it works in a similar way. They want you to post frequently, so they reward that.
Makes sense. And I guess kind of moving on to the content itself, you know, I think most people are aware that different platforms means different types of content and what works. Yeah. But kind of be quite generally speaking, what type of content works well?
Dogs. Dogs, cats. Pets always work well. Trying to make them relevant to your business is another story, but you showing up as you and being visible and sharing something about yourself that's I hate the word authentic, but something that's authentic and true and honest always works really well and is engaging. People get the, for want of a better word, the knickers in a twist about content all the time. It is just storytelling. And we as, and you've probably heard me say this before, we as human beings are predisposed to like stories. We read books as little kids, and prehistoric man and woman, they used to tell stories around fires to entertain themselves on an evening. And the people who told the best stories got the most people around them, and their fires, as a result, more people around them, more wood, more fuel on the fire, shone brighter. So tell a good story and people will listen.
Yeah, and it kind of, I guess, kind of bringing it back to planning, where's this balance, I guess, between obviously planning and like you kind of what, why you said it earlier, but also, you know, a lot of the content maybe that you've mentioned there is that quite often, maybe should we call it in the moment or spontaneous content? So how do you kind of marry those two off? Because obviously I assume that the balance between the two is part of your planning, I guess.
So every single client I work with, they have like kind of a bespoke content plan because it's slightly different for each client. But I work about 70-30. I kind of schedule 70% of my posts and plan them, and the rest of it is a bit ad hoc, like something I saw or a book I read or something that's happened in the news. Like this week, a few close acquaintances of mine have had their Instagram accounts hacked. So I'll be doing something around security this week because it still shocks me how unsecure people are with their accounts that they rely on for their income. So I'll be doing something around that. That's something that I couldn't necessarily have planned. So it's things like that, but I will plan in kind of what I call skeleton posts for the month. So there's two ways of doing that. There's one way is assuming that you have been posting regular content the month before. We'll come back to that. One way is that you've been off the rails and you've not really bothered posting. That way, you've just got to start somewhere. You've just got to do it. You've got to commit to posting X amount of times a week. For me, I don't have any clients who I would post less than 3 times a week for, because that is kind of the least amount you can get away with posting to still feed the algorithm. Over Christmas and in August are slightly different, because there's not as much traffic, but the rest of the time. So I would tend to post every 72 hours, 3 times a week as a minimum. And if anything else happens, that's in addition. If you have been really good and get a gold star and been posting consistently the month before, then you work backwards. Look at your insights, whatever app you're using, or if you're looking at your website, has free insights. Google Analytics are free. So if you've got a website, you can look at your website as a whole and see how much traffic has come from maybe a blog you've written, social media, organic, what's worked. They do a nice, easy pie chart. What worked best that month? Because you need to do more of that. And if you've done a pay-per-click campaign that didn't work very well, maybe don't do one that month. Maybe try something else. Maybe invest that budget in a different area. So look at what's worked, look at what hasn't. And then in more depth, go and look at your social media and what are your top 3 posts, what post performed best. Now, I would look at that by reach and also how many people clicked on them and which 3 posts perform the worst. What the ones that perform the best and one that perform the worst, what time did you post them? What day did you post them? What type of content was it? Do less of the stuff that didn't work and more of the stuff that works, so you can incorporate that into your plan for the following month. So you've got 3 posts that worked really well for you that month. Replicate those, the times they went, the type of post. Obviously, you don't want to copy them word for word, but if it was one that worked really well recently for me, I did sort of 3 truths and a lie, did that, that worked well. So you could perhaps do something like that again, but with different information, or perhaps three truths about social media content and one fib, that kind of thing. And then I've also done posts that have bombed. I won't do those again. But people are worried that things won't work when they try something new or different with the content. And actually, you have learned something by trying a new thing. You've learned that you don't need to do it if it doesn't work, and you can just put it away and move on.
And the thing, I guess, about planning is that planning doesn't mean scheduling, does it? So for example, you know, we do lots of events at the Northern Affinity.
Yeah.
I know when those dates are. I might not know what content I'm going to do in the moment at that event, because it might be something, it might be a general photo of everyone there. Something funny might happen, or there might be something in the area that I don't know. But if I know that on that day I'm going to be there, I can plan to have some content. So it doesn't necessarily mean scheduling, does it?
No, it doesn't. I mean, I do tend to schedule some of my content. I plan for the month, and I tend to schedule for the week ahead, you know, in case our monarch dies or, you know, something like that, and I have to just delete it all, because that never happens. But yeah, I tend to plan for the week. And I know what times for my business and my client's business work the best, because I've been doing that. But I do also, again, review that on a monthly basis, because during COVID and people working from home much more, the times that people were more likely to be online really changed. A really busy time used to be kind of 7:30 till 8:30 when people were on the way to work commuting. That is not such a busy time anymore. That was guaranteed to get you quite a lot of engagement, and now it doesn't.
So kind of moving on to the kind of the planning. So you know, if we were going to sit down and say, right, let's plan some content, obviously you've covered some things there, then kind of what are the type of things you should be doing, and how should you do it?
So I've talked about balance of content, and a lot of people who work within content will talk about your content pillars, and that's not pillows, that's pillars as in supporting your house. So if you're building a house and you've got the foundations which it's upon, they need to be equal. Because if you've got too much of one pillar, the house is going to tip in that direction. So, for example, if you've got, you're trying to sell all the time to people, you're going to be off kilter, off balance, and people are going to disengage. But obviously, as well, if you're, like for me as a personal brand, if I just spend my whole time talking about myself and what I've done that day, what I've had for my tea, what I did at the gym, how is that relevant to my business? So you can show a bit of yourself and have a bit of fun, but get that balance right. Also, like sharing reviews and things, people quite often forget to do that. And I would advise you within your plan to be sharing a review every sort of fourth or fifth post, something good somebody said about your business, or an outcome someone's had from working with you. So it's keeping that balance of the stuff that it's not necessarily fun or interesting to create, but it makes sure that everything you are and everything you do is threaded through your business. Something that a lot of clients of mine, when they've got me to do their content from them, they haven't done is said, where are they? Who geographically do they work with? Like, I can work with anybody who speaks English, because I'm rubbish at languages, anyone in the world who speaks English. So that really, the real basics of what your business is, and keeping it there and keeping your brand awareness up there by posting consistently. What everybody's pillars will look like will vary slightly, but I would say a good start is a review, something like interest, some information about your business, like what do you actually do, or who are you, something about you, and maybe a teaching post might be good. That'd be a good start to have a kind of a level amount of content.
Yeah, I know what I do. I mean, this, I'm specifically talking about LinkedIn here. I know with my plan is I try to have two posts a week, which debate engagement type posts, should we say, conversation type discussions. And then I'll have a couple a week, which are more about, say, the events we are doing, or kind of, I guess, information type things. And then probably a couple a week, which are about other people.
Yeah, exactly. And I will do one about other people, particularly on LinkedIn, that works really well. Kind of if you've met up with somebody or you've worked with somebody, kind of giving them a shout out. I had a really helpful chat with Fliss earlier. And actually, what I learned from it is I don't need to engage her services, but that in itself was really helpful. So I'll give Fliss a little shout out at some point this week. So that kind of thing. But that's something you can't plan.
No, absolutely. And that's the in the moment stuff, I guess, as well. So you know, if I were, you know, I'm sitting down to plan my content for a month, how can I practically do that? Because I know everyone will do it in different ways. Is it easy, you know, stick it on a spreadsheet, your pen and paper?
I use Google Sheets. I've got an overarching sheet that I use for each and every client, and it's color-coded. But the content pillars are different for just about every client. Even clients that are in the same industry, it's slightly different because they want to approach it in a different way. So I would kind of have a client consultation. Then I'd start by looking at what worked well previous month. If you haven't done anything the previous month, you just need to put some content out there and see what happens. Then I'd look at awareness days and themes. Now, awareness days are great. You can't just make your social media about awareness days, though, because otherwise you just become kind of a calendar rather than social media. So you can use awareness days, but not too much. So, for example, in December, the 8th of December, it's Save the Children Christmas Jumper Day. So I'll be wearing my Christmas jumper. I'll be putting a picture of me wearing my Christmas jumper on online and just kind of pushing that campaign. It might not be a live photo because I do have some photos taken by the lovely Marianne Scott of me in various Christmas jumpers over the years. So it'll probably be one of those. But I know that I'll be doing that. I also know that the 15th of December is Have a Cup of Tea Day. And every day. I'm more of a coffee drinker, to be honest, but I will be doing something around that. And a lot of my clients can do something around that. Like sometimes for me, it would be actually sometimes just sitting and having a cup of tea and letting your creative things flow and what you actually want to say and then writing it down. That would be how I would kind of sell it. Incorporating those. Obviously December is a bit of a funny month because we've got some quite big important things happening, and I will be taking some time off, so I will be doing some scheduling between Christmas and New Year. But it will basically for December, really easy posts are just Merry Christmas, I'm signing off now until next year, thanks to everybody who supported me, etc, etc, etc. Or if you're kind of a B2C business, what are your opening hours? Some really simple posts there that you can make, and just schedule a little reminder. I'm still away eating cheese and drinking wine with a Christmas hat on, but I'll be back on the 3rd of January. You can book a call with me here. So that sort of thing, that's what I'll be doing between Christmas and New Year.
That makes sense. And you touched on scheduling tools there, actually. Mm-hmm. Schedule. Is there any particular ones that, I don't know, you recommend? I know what's out there and the kind of, some of them now you can schedule direct on the platforms, can't you? What kind of just overarching thoughts on scheduling?
So tools? Twitter, you can schedule on Twitter now. So that's what I would do. For Facebook and Instagram, I use Meta Business Suite. It's free. It does have its glitches, but it's the least glitchy thing I have found. And I really like that the insights that gives as well, that for the Meta, they're great. They do everything you need. And you can actually benchmark yourself against similar businesses to see how they're doing versus how you're doing. So I quite like that. The ones for Instagram will tell you what time your audience are online, the biggest percentage of your audience are online that day, that week, that month. So it's quite good to know. And I tend to use Buffer for LinkedIn, but I have been told by quite a few people that there's an app called Metricool, MITRICOOL, that is supposed to be brilliant. There's a free version, which for a business that's just posting for themselves would be fine. But there's also a paid version for content creators. And I am going to give it a whirl in the new year. So I will report back. The problem if you're posting on lots and lots of different platforms for lots and lots of different clients, is that the content planning organizations want to charge you thousands of pounds a year to run more than like 5 accounts. So what us content planners tend to do is use several different ones, the cheaper version, because they want so much money. They're thinking like big agencies, we're a big agency and we're not. I haven't got thousands of pounds a month to spend on a content scheduling tool. So yeah, Metrical is apparently the good one, but I'm a bit of a creature of habit, so I like what I like. So it will take a little while to wean me off what I'm doing.
Absolutely, like anything, these things kind of come and go, don't they? And
become popular, and all that exactly. Kind of stuff.
And I wasn't going to talk about this, but actually, you touched on it there about essentially analytics and looking at your numbers. Now, obviously, I think you know it's kind of self-explanatory that looking at your analytics makes sense, but how does it make a sense from planning your content? You know, how can you look at your analytics and use that to plan your future content for your business?
So if you've got if you're looking at your top post for the month and a post you made about for example, I'm working with a gym at the moment. I did a client a picture of them or them the team, meet the team, and a little bit about the team and how they're all training X, Y, and Z, and they've all got indemnity insurance, and they'd love to have a chat with them. That reached like thousands and thousands of people, but something that was like, come down to the gym for a free trial, reached a few hundred. So it to me, that means that we need to sell the people at the gym more than a free trial with an infographic. So that's an example of how I would shape it. But saying that, you still need to remind that there is a free trial, but I might next time do a picture of the team and then edit it via Canva. Other editing tools are available, and put the free trial kind of badge or graphic on the picture with the team and see how that works.
Yeah, and it goes back to a little bit of the question I asked earlier, isn't it, about, you know, kind of what makes good content? Well, you know, find out from your analytics. I know with us, for example, when if you look at nearly every time, the most popular posts are the ones when we announce a new people have joined the group. It's one of those. Now, obviously, we can't force that because you just do that as people join, but you can plan to put that on certain days at certain times and things like that, because generally speaking, that gets the most engagement. And that kind of, again, came through the analytics.
Yeah, exactly. I don't get when I talk about analytics, people often glaze over or rabbit in headlights. I am not a numbers person at all. Any report that's created for a client, my VA does, because he has a mug that says I love Excel, and I don't love Excel at all. But I can read analytics, and I saw a really interesting infographic the other day, which was Lego all over the floor. And how actually, by putting your infographics together, if you think of it as Lego scattered everywhere, you build a nice little house and it's all neat and you put it all together so you know what you want to do with it. And it is really basic stuff. And Meta in particular and LinkedIn, they can't make it any easier for you. It's free. It's there. They tell you what the best post was. More of that, and then the one that's absolutely panned, less of that.
Absolutely.
And so it needs to be that. But also, you can look into more depth about if you kind of go into the insights about what age group are men and women looking, where are the people that are looking. On LinkedIn, it's more about where the people that are looking at your post, what sector do they work in, etc.
No, absolutely. And obviously, kind of generally, I was going to discuss kind of social media a little bit with you in terms of content from, you know, a few years ago, and this is kind of pre-pandemic, everywhere you looked, everyone was saying video, 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 use as much video as possible. And maybe the reason was because not that many people was doing it. So it stood out. Now, video, and we're doing this right now, has become a lot more popular medium. So how important is using images, video, sound on social media, and how do you see that evolving?
So it's, if you got this certain, obviously if you're on TikTok, you need to use it because that's what it's a platform for. If you're on Instagram, you need to do some because that's the way the platform is going. Facebook and LinkedIn, great, but you don't have to use it. They're not video-based platforms. And again, it's a type of content you should try and see what happens. Don't just do it for the sake of it. I know that for me on video, on LinkedIn and Facebook, video doesn't work very well. I don't really like doing them. So I don't really do them on those platforms. I'll do a little bit on Instagram from time to time. But that's again, I've got a blog on my website, which is 8 ways to make a faceless video. So if you're really uncomfortable with showing up on video, then go and have a look at that. And then create a video, even if it's just of you screen recording with a voiceover on how to do something and see how that works for you. Is it relevant as well? I've got my best performing reel ever reached, did it reach like 50, 60,000 people? And it's of the Home Firth Duck Race. It's of me at the Home Firth Duck Race filming someone tipping ducks in a stream. And it just went mad. But actually, what use is that to me and my business? Zero. I don't think I got one follower or one piece of business from that. It's all a vanity metric. And when you are looking at your insights, your vanity, how many followers you've actually got doesn't matter. It's more about how many people have seen your content and engaged with it.
Yeah, and it's that kind of, I guess building credibility is a big part of, you know, and what you do. And obviously video, there's an opportunity there, isn't there, to get more across, you know, what this is going to be about 30 minute ish video. You know, if we wrote this as a blog, well, it's almost the size of a book, isn't it? People won't read that. So you can get a lot over in even a, you know, like a 3 or 4 minute video compared to a blog. And I think obviously you're more likely to get people do. So it's kind of that, again, I think kind of the long and short is the balance, isn't it, between the things.
If you're on a platform where video is the most popular type of content, you are going to reach more people and grow faster by doing video. I quite often refer to content as being a bit like a healthy living plan, because people decide, right, I'm going to post every day this week and I'm going to do a reel, I'm going to do a video, and they go mad and they have a really good week. And then they're like, oh, I can't be bothered. And then they just post once a week after. You're better off, if you're going to do 7 or 8 posts, scheduling them across the month and then popping up when you've got time and energy across the month, and then just doing them all at once, because you kind of might as well have not bothered.
Yeah, so it's that consistency, essentially. You know, if you're twice a day for a week and then nothing for 3 weeks, you're probably better doing it every 3 or 4 days.
Exactly. And it's knowing what. So I know what kind of content works for my business. So I sit down and I plan 12 social media posts that are a variety of my stuff, awareness days, perhaps themes like obviously Christmas, and a couple of reviews and a few like, well, have you signed up for my newsletter because it's coming out later this week, those sort of things, basic evergreen posts. And then I'll talk about events. I will also each month do a newsletter, and I will write 1 to 2 blogs which I will include in that newsletter, and I will also have a little review of my website each month. I know you've already had someone talk about SEO. SEO bores me to tears, but I will have a little check of my website each month to check there's no dead links, that kind of thing, just the very basic stuff. Are any pictures on there or any of the links now out of date? That sort of thing. It takes me 10 minutes. So those are things that I do every month, and I will try and do at least one video a month, usually more. And that's my content.
It's interesting there. You talked about consistency. You mentioned it then. It just kind of popped into my mind. I know you do the monthly the awareness days post.
Yeah.
And I know it's always about the end of the month, ready for the next month, isn't
it? Yeah.
So you talk about consistency there. I kind of look out for that. It's a post I look out for, and I know I see, I'm pretty much said I'll see it every single time.
Yeah.
Mainly because there's always like a weird, random, funny one that I like looking at.
that's why I do it.
but it's there, and that's the consistency. It's building your brand as being somebody who knows what she's talking about when it comes to anything.
Yeah, and I've done that consistently for, I think we're getting close to 2 years now. And there was earlier in the year, I had to take like a few weeks out of my business. And I had people like messaging me saying, where's my awareness days? I've not had them. And it's like, they're coming.
That's the perfect situation, isn't it? Really? Yeah. If you, what you don't want is people sick of seeing your post. They want almost desperate for you to post. And that's
exactly. That's my balance really with I send one newsletter a month into people who subscribe to my newsletters. If you subscribe to my newsletters, everybody, just a little plug, you get the content prompts first before they go out online. And they're free. And then maybe I'll email people if I've got a workshop or I've got something big's happened, like there's been a massive overhaul of Instagram or something like that, then I will send something out to people. But it's rare that I email people more than twice a month.
Perfect. Well, I think that's a great place to kind of finish on, just in terms of, if people want to find out more about you, and obviously whether they subscribe to the newsletter or see your content, where's the best places to go to find you, Claire?
So if you go to my website, which is Sunshine Digital, then you can find me there, and I'm linked to all my socials, or I'm on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram. So have a look, and there's loads. I do give a lot of free stuff away. So love to see people over there.
Yeah, perfect. And if anyone, what we'll do is we'll put all the links in the show notes as well, both on the YouTube page and on the various podcast platforms, so you can find Claire through that. So just finally say thank you, Claire. I really appreciate your time.
You're welcome. And
every time I do these, some people give me lots of things to do now, and my to-do list is getting bigger. So I need to stop doing so many podcasts because my to-do list is getting too long. But thank you anyway.
I was going to use you as an example to plan your content in December, but then you ruined it because you're doing 17 days of shouting people out. So I can't now.
And that just came as a random thing off the top of my head.
No, it's a really good idea. Things like that work really well. So I'd say when people are nervous about doing something, just give it a go. Just don't swear or do anything offensive and see what happens. If it bombs, it bombs, and you don't have to do it again.
I love that. It's a great, what's the worst that can happen, basically? Just get on with it.
Exactly.
And if you don't try, you won't get anywhere, will you?
Yeah, exactly. So
perfect. Well, thank you for your time.
All right. Thanks, Mike. Bye.
I hope you enjoyed this chat today. And like me, you learned something new from our wonderful expert. So if you'd like to hear from more of our sessions, please subscribe on whatever platform that you get your podcast from to hear more. And also, we'd love to meet you at some point at one of our upcoming events. The Northern Affinity hold events all across the north of England. And we'd love to meet new people and have guests along. So please come along and check out our website or all the details in the show notes. Thank you very much for listening, and see you next time.